Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We bless your name, God. Glory to God. Let's turn our Bibles quickly to Luke chapter 19. We worship you, Lord. Luke 19:1. He entered Jericho and was passing through, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich, and he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." I'm going to read that. I'm going to lean into that verse this afternoon. Verse 5, are we here? Are we in the house? Are we in the house? I'm going to lean into verse 5 this afternoon. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." There is even, there's greater speed for us, greater speed, even greater urgency, okay, than we desire. And what I mean by that is that some of us are in a season where we want to see the hand of God, we want to see the move of God, we want to see quicker results. Is that just me? Okay. All right. Quicker results. We want to have quicker resolutions. Right? Okay. And the the way that we, I have a direction this morning, and I'm going to touch on that quickly. But the way that we often judge and evaluate the work of God in our lives, in our subconscious, is that God is slow. Okay. So every time we feel in our hearts, okay, that we are not where we're not where we're meant to be, right? And which can have happened often, is that correct? So everybody has one area or the other where you feel, "I should have by now." Okay, maybe you're from space. We love you. You must be visiting us today, angel of the Lord. But everybody has one area or the other, all right, that when you measure it, the consensus is, "I should have achieved more. I should be here by now." Does that make sense? I should have done that. And well, that's okay to an extent, because I guess part of evaluating ourselves is, it's a mature thing to do, to evaluate and say, "Hey, okay, I should have improved." Is that correct? That's fine. But every time that goes beyond that evaluation into a place where those, now please hear me prophetically this afternoon, because I have a prophetic assignment. Now, every time that's okay. That's the only way you improve, is you measure and go, "Okay, I should have been here by now." Does that make sense? So you do that. But there is one that crosses that point of evaluation and it's a point of depression or discouragement, all right, where we now begin to wallow in some sort of comparison or dissatisfaction, basically. When I strip back all of those things I described, one of the potential considerations, when you strip back everything, you know, sometimes you have layers of thoughts, all right? So the thoughts are layered. And intelligence is the ability to strip back your thoughts and say, okay, what is the main issue here? Because thoughts are complex. Do you see what I'm saying? Thoughts are complex. They're complex because when feelings get involved, they get complex. Are we still together? All right. So when you strip back everything, if I said I have a prophetic assignment, if we live in a place of constant disappointment, can I suggest that the possibility is that we are saying that God is slow? Now, you might not make a direct correlation to it, but when we have surrendered our lives entirely to God, given our lives entirely to God, we are following God's plan the way we should, right? And we live in a place of constant disappointment. There's a reason why the apostles wrote things like the Lord is not slow concerning his promises. People have thought that God was slow. Okay, I know, you know, religious church. So I'm not saying you guys are religious. I'm just saying, you know, the idea is that the way we've been brought up in religion, you can't be honest about these things. Does that make sense? So sometimes there is a hidden, unexpressed frustration that we have towards God. And sometimes in the professionalism of our prayer, you know, professional prayer, thou art mighty, but you were not raised in King James. You were not, your relationship with God is in King James. Thou art holy. All right. So in our professional prayer, that we know this because it's as though our prayer lacks connection. It is eloquent, but not penetrative. Good afternoon. I woke up around 4 a.m. So you might be right about me this morning. Whatever you want to say, I agree with you. Right? Are we still together? Okay, because I just want to touch one thing. So the consensus is, when we live in a place of disappointment, it's as though we're saying to God, I am readier than you. You have not given me what I need. You have not answered my prayers. You haven't answered my prayers. I have been praying for 20 something years. So the consensus is God has not done. Most prayers that we pray in most churches makes God responsible. Do you see what I'm saying? Right? It's the prayer that makes God responsible. Some of the please, I'm not after you this afternoon, but I may be. Okay, all right. Some of our prayers are accusatory, because oftentimes they don't come from the place of evaluation or reflection. So there are things you and I are praying about right now. If God gives you the answer now, can you stand to be blessed? I said that because we've been looking at the Sycamore Collective. All right. And what's the Sycamore Collective? You know, those who are in the house who have not heard the teaching. The Sycamore Collective is what we're learning from the life of Zacchaeus. That Zacchaeus had certain disadvantages in life. He wanted to see Jesus. He was not a man of great stature. So that was a disadvantage. But the Bible says he found a system of advantage called a sycamore tree, and he climbed on it. So we've been exploring. Remember that. Okay, so you can go back over the teachings. This is where I want to go. I just want to touch on one element today, because we must deal with some things today. So the feeling is, I think it's the way I started. Everybody looks so serious. Yeah, be serious, but be smiling too. Okay, right. I think the main issue I want to really touch on today is that Zacchaeus pivoted quickly. All right. I thought Zacchaeus thought quite quickly. Okay. I don't know how long he was in the struggle of, oh, I need to see Jesus. I'm short. No, I said, okay, no, sorry, no one is short. I'm of stature. Okay. I can't see. No, don't find me. Don't look at me strange. Okay. Okay. I can't see Jesus. I'm not. So, you know, I don't know how long this happened. The Bible doesn't give us a record, a time. But in my mind, I praise Zacchaeus for his ability to be flexible. Okay, the fact that he was able to rethink his strategy and say, if I climb on Brother John might say his back is aching and he will drop me. Does that make sense? All right, so I need a tree. So I praise him for the flexibility that he had, the adaptation. But now watch this. When Jesus meets him, Jesus still said, hurry. This is where I'm going. So to me, Zacchaeus was already diligent. I think Zacchaeus was already quite quick in his thinking, right? But when Jesus saw him, Jesus said to him again, hurry, I must stay out of your house. How do you tell a guy, oh my God, come on, someone talk back to me. How do you tell someone who already put a lot of effort into getting this visibility to see Jesus, and Jesus says, hurry, come down, I must stay out of your house today? So that means that God's urgency, right, to bless Zacchaeus, I use the word bless in a loose, in a wide sense, was even more than Zacchaeus had contemplated. Please hear what I'm saying. Is anybody receiving this one this morning? Does that make sense? Because if you strip it back, it looks like Zacchaeus is one putting the effort, he wants to see Jesus. No. Okay, Jesus said to him, he says, Zacchaeus, he said, hurry. I thought he was hurrying already. I thought he was quick. So that means the urgency on the side of God to move in the life of Zacchaeus was more than the urgency that Zacchaeus had even come to comprehend. And the same is true in our lives, where we think that the things that we want to experience in God, that we have a bigger passion than God. That our passion, oh God. There was a time in my life, especially, I think this was very early days of my salvation. I would get frustrated. Why? What was my frustration? I couldn't feel God. Anyone ever be there before? I couldn't feel God. I wanted to feel God. I mean, you know what it means to feel God? I wanted to, he's here. Let me move. The wind blows. Something happens. I couldn't feel God. I didn't understand. I couldn't feel God. So I will pray sometimes and I'll get frustrated. Then until the Lord spoke to me. And he said something to me that changed my walk forever. He said, I am more passionate about you knowing me than you are. That changed my understanding. That God wanted me to know him more than I thought I wanted to know him. So I realized that I could ride on his passion. So you know what that did? That brought me security. Someone shout security. So that brought me security. That I thought, wow. So he's, because sometimes you can think you're working to earn something from him. No. He's the one that started it. Right. He's the frustration comes when you think you're the one trying to manufacture your faith. There is an offer. There is an author. Are we in the house? There is an author. There is a finisher. So, believers, we can live in this illusion that God has these things he hasn't done for us. And does that make sense? And that's what makes prayer. That's why we don't enjoy prayer, because for the most part, you're trying to get someone to give you something he doesn't want to give you. So, Jesus shows us something here. that he is the very one behind the pace that Zacchaeus needs. He says to him, Zacchaeus. I told you, the reason why he's gone down that way is because of Zacchaeus. So Jesus still says to him, he said, and sometimes we act like God. That's why the word had to teach us and say, the Lord is not slow. I think that's something that we have to understand as believers. We think God is slow. No, the Bible says the Lord is not slow. All right. So if the Lord is not slow, what is the issue? My ability to comprehend his pace. Come on, somebody. So I can guarantee you here, at least 50% of us feel like we've been waiting on God for years. The Bible says the Lord is not slow. He said, hurry, today I must come down. So that means I must. So if the Lord is not slow, there has to be some. Okay, this is the reality. God is not slow, but something is slow. It's a fact. Okay. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? God, we agree that God is not slow, but we can also agree that some things are slow. You can separate and distinguish between God being slow and things being slow. So when I now understand that God is not slow, that the issue of pace is not God's fault, and I'll begin to figure out, come on, are we flowing this afternoon? Are we in the house? When I understand that God is not slow, and I figure that out, so I'm like, okay, so what then is the issue? And I begin to realize that contrary to what we may have been brought up to understand, right, there are factors that can accelerate divine processes. All right? There are factors that can accelerate divine processes. Okay, can I give you an example? Let me give you an example. I think I've said this before. How many of you here are from Ghana? Wow, some people have never lifted their hands. It's okay. The World Cup is done now. It's okay. Okay, all right. How long does it take to get to Ghana from the UK by flight? Direct flight. Okay, let's start with if you were to indirect flight, what would you call it now? If you had to stop over, how long? 10 hours? Where do you stop over? Huh? Anywhere in Europe. Okay, so you stop over. So you 10 hours. Okay. But you don't have to do that. It's cheaper, right? But when you get a direct flight, it's quicker. So how many hours? 5-6 hours. That's like night. Okay. If you were to go to Ghana by foot. I wanted to say how many decades. He said, how many eternal lives? Yeah. You know, people do that though. People come from Africa, da da da. How long do you think you take? Someone is actually Googling it. I know what you're doing. You're asking ChatGPT. All right. So that's almost not feasible. If you were to drive to Ghana from England, how long will it take? 50 days. I don't know where you're walking through, but all right. Okay. If you go by ship, how long would it take? Weeks. Yeah. So weeks. So what you're seeing is the destination is common, but arrival is dependent on facility. You see that? What I'm saying to you is the same Ghana, depending on what you're using, you can arrive there in different ways. You can still arrive, but the matter of the speed of the arrival is dependent on the actual facility that you have. Okay, so Imagine if, now this is wild imagination, so I'm just, right. Okay, so imagine if the first people on the earth, or those who discovered the ability they could travel by airplane to get, let's put it this way. So imagine that the only discovery that was made with regards to travel was traveling on the ship. It would mean that there is a whole new possibility of speed, saving of time, that would have been available but not yet discovered. But it's available. And imagine that the people said, well, this is the sovereignty of God. This is how God wants us to travel. Good afternoon. GN Church Phoenix. This is where we started church in the Midlands, by the way. Yeah, in this place. So I can fully say, good afternoon, GN Church Phoenix. Right? So someone could have said, without the exercising of innovation, someone could have said, this is how long it takes to Ghana. But how long it takes to get to Ghana can be different based on the different. But it could have been attributed to the sovereignty of God. So here's the point. The point is, I can now learn from several things in life. Okay, now we use smart lights. Johnson bought me a smart bulb the other day. All right. Okay. Now, a few years ago, the idea of telling your bulb, what do you say now? Turn off. What do you say? Because I hardly say that because it's too weird. Alexa, what? Turn off lights or whatever. Right. A few years ago, if someone walked into your room and you just said, Alexa, turn off your light, they'll say, yes, we knew they were following you. we knew there was a problem in your lineage. We knew that because you're now talking to element. So, hold on. So that shows us then that in the sovereignty of God, there's room for innovation. So that means I've been teaching this. Please, you have to go back over the message. That means my faith can innovate in the jurisdiction. So I showed you in different, because we're going somewhere. So I showed you in different ways. Please stay with me. I'm not waffling. Believe me, I know my exact point. So, okay, I showed you in different points, at different points. The centurion went to Jesus and said, Jesus, my servant is sick. Come and heal him. So Jesus said, okay, let's go. Let's take the journey. The guy said, don't come. He said, don't come. He said, I'm a man under authority. And I say to one, go, and he goes. And I say to another, come, and he comes. He said, only speak your word and my servant will be healed. And Jesus was like, wow, great faith. But guess what? Jesus was going to take a physical trip to the guy's house. But the guy found a divine principle and innovated what the move should look like in terms of the speed. Because he was able to think that way, God was able to deliver that way. My God. This is for people that are ready to stop blaming God. Okay? This is for people that are ready to stop blaming God and stop playing theology up and down and get some practicality into your life. Seriously. Right? He goes. He said, Jesus. He says, only speak. So that guy customized his experience. Oh my God. Do you get it? He customized his experience. Wow. Same with the woman with the issue of blood. These stories are set up for us to understand the new covenant. The woman did not even have a conversation with Jesus. The woman said to herself, she said, the Bible says she said within herself, somebody say something within yourself. Come on, say something within you, because we're going to pray. Yeah, say something. Don't just go through processes and experience and don't say something within yourself. Someone say within yourself, I'm coming out this week, that thing is stopping. This week, it is changed. Say something within you. She said, the Bible says, she said within herself. She said, if I can touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. She didn't have that conversation with Jesus directly, but you know what? You can pray through thoughts. So guess what? She gets up. All these details, are we together? All these details are important for us in us. This is about understanding God. We have to be open to understanding God according to Scripture. Okay? The reason why we have the Holy Spirit is that in the letter, there are dimensions of God. So I would never, without the Spirit, I would never be able to comprehend the dimension. So, okay. So now, the woman goes. Now watch this, please. Very simple. She touches Jesus. She gets healed. Jesus turns around and said, who touched me? Virtue went out of me. So guess what? Jesus didn't even control. Now, not that he's not in control. His sovereignty has provided that he's going to heal. But he didn't even control at what speed that healing happened. This is gonna be interesting. The woman didn't control at what speed. Guess what? Sorry, Jesus didn't control at what speed. Not that Jesus is not in control because he's sovereign. Can I break religious boundaries here? Can I tell you who determined the speed? The woman. The woman said, if I touch him, she didn't say, if she said within herself, if I touch him in 3 years, I'll be healed. In 3 years, she would have been healed. please, do you understand what I'm saying to you? If she said within, if I touch him when I get home, I'll be healed. She would have touched him, gotten home, and should have been healed. He said, if I touch him, by the time I go to Jerusalem, I'll be healed. She would have got it. It's a principle in the new covenant. It's called, be it unto you according to your faith. So that nobody can blame God and say that God is the one. No. So the day we wake up, the day we wake up beyond religion, the day we wake up beyond religion is the day we begin to live the life that God has in store for us. Are we in the house this afternoon? That's it. There is a Christianity there that around the world that doesn't allow you to take responsibility for what your relationship with God should look like. Not that you're controlling God, you're responding to his sovereignty. And those two things are different. So Jesus looks at, because there's one point of emphasis I really want to deal with today. He looks at Zacchaeus. After all that Zacchaeus had done, and he still said to Zacchaeus, he said, hurry. Does that make sense? He said, I must today. That means he had more urgency. That means from the side of Jesus, Jesus was absolutely determined to make sure that Zacchaeus encountered him. But the thing that he wanted from Zacchaeus was still that urgency. Huh? He still wants, someone say urgency. Yeah. He still wanted that urgency from Zacchaeus. That urgency. Jesus was determined. He still wanted that urgency. So the problem here is this. Is that, here's my point. In many cases, the speed of God is often not the issue. God, please settle this in your heart. God is never slow. God has outdone me. I am learning how to move at the level at which he is speaking. That is the issue. Someone who, the Bible says, determines the end from the beginning. Do you see what I'm saying? Everything that he has called me to become, I am in his eyes. He's done, finished. So actually, God is not slow. I am the one learning. Once you change this, it takes a level of humility to readjust. I am the one learning to meet him at his level and at his pace. He has outpaced me. To say that God is slow is to take the responsibility of my innovation and put it on him. Is anybody getting something this afternoon? Are we getting it? Yeah. Who? Someone shout, God is not slow. Yeah. He said, hurry. Can you imagine? He said, hurry. That means you can move at another pace if you so decide. The ability to hurry is within your custody. Oh. Okay. So the question is, if God is not slow, why are things slow? Does anybody want to explore the question, that question this afternoon? Huh? Sir? Right? The question is, good point, Uche. If God's not slow, why are things slow? Why am I trying to make a particular change? All right? And that change, God already told me. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. God made him that knew no sin to become sin that I may become his righteousness. So I am already. So that means God is not slow. But why is he taking long to change these habits? All right? Leave the devil away first. Just push. Just remove the devil, because everything's devil. Okay, yes, I understand you. Obedience, that's a good point. So now I'm getting you to think, because now you've taken the blame of God. So the question is, why am I? So what I'm now finding is there anything in the way that I think that's hindering my ability to meet God at the level? I'm going to touch on one of those things. One of the most common factors, and this is where we're going to begin to pray, all right, that's hindering our ability to meet God at the level of what he wants to do, right, is the issue of healing and wholeness. Here's where I'm going. Are we together? Is the issue of healing and wholeness. There could be many, but this is one of the most common features. Are we together? Right? And what the Lord wants to do in the house this afternoon is that he wants to take care of some things. All right? He wants to touch certain areas. He wants to close up certain wounds. Are we together? Yeah. He wants to fill certain voids. Do you know why? Because, all right, imagine someone who is in physical pain, like a lot of pain. All right, imagine them trying to carry something that's heavy duty. All right, have you ever been in pain and then you've tried to carry something heavy, even something light? Right, what happens? The pain restricts, our ability, and your ability matters. Now, please, do you know why this matters? Because, God's not slow. So we have a part to play in the delivery of God's purposes. So if I am not whole, I can't play my part. Did you get what I said? All right? So please hear this again. God's part in his sovereignty is to provide me with everything I need for life and godliness. Right? But my part is to innovate within his provision. But I cannot innovate if I am not okay. So what would happen is this. In the week, I was meditating on this, on Sycamore Collective. And One of the questions that I felt people were asking without really asking was, where do I start? It was, okay, all of these things are wonderful, but where do I actually begin to start to make change? How do I actually start? All of these things are great. How do I start? Right? We are asking those questions because we have not discovered a level of wholeness within us. Because it starts with you. Come on, does anybody understand what I'm saying? Yeah. So, really and truly, the fact is, one limitation to being able to innovate. I can imagine someone being in Zacchaeus' position and they would never see that tree because there are other things they must first conquer in their minds before they even get to recognize the tree. All right? That's what I'm saying. There are other things they must conquer. So that means that the barrier is in the soul. I can imagine someone being in Zacchaeus' position, right? Looking at the tree, thinking, I need to climb that tree, but trauma. Are we together? But trauma begins to well up. And as a result of trauma, more time is spent on trauma than innovation. Do you see what I'm saying? We're going to begin to pray soon. Because in the name of Jesus Christ, everything that's like a warfare in our souls, that's just like, it's not allowing us really move in the way God wants us to move, right? There must be healing today. I said there must be healing today, right? And Satan is an expert on flagging up the past, trauma, pain. Are we flowing? We're getting it. Have you noticed? It is when you feel like you want to pray that all the sins that God has forgiven you about, they begin to well up. They didn't well up when you were eating. Hello. Right? They didn't come back to your mind when you were walking on the street. Right? The moment you decided to get into the presence of God, that's when all of those things started coming up. And the unfortunate part is that this generation has experienced so much brokenness. But yet this generation is pregnant with so much possibility. But what we are learning over and over is God cannot send a wounded soldier into the field. So you have to check. I have to check. Every time God gives us marching orders and we try to move and we take two steps and we feel like, I can't. All right? Sometimes you're thinking, what is the problem? Look in your soul. Are we together? Check in your soul. Is there anything in your soul that is yet tender? Is there anything in your soul that is bruised? Is this helping anybody? I said, is this helping us? Is there anything that's because it's going to take a people that are healed, a people that are whole, a people that are, you know, people that are complete in Him. I tell you what, The moment you experience healing in God, you find new expressions in Him. Yeah, are we together? Your ability to express yourself, it's as though the leash is taken away. The past is a leash. Have you ever seen a leash? All right? Okay? All right? Okay. You know, even with children, we put, what's that thing on their neck now? Huh? Where, their neck? Their chest. On their chest, though. Okay, on their chest. You put it on there. It's not their neck. Please don't put it on their neck. All right. You put it on their chest. Okay, what happens? They may try to go as far as possible. Right? But in as much as that thing is on them, you could pull them back. Do you see what I'm saying? So they'll try and go as far as possible. But then they get pulled back. That's a picture of what attachment to the past looks like. So you're getting it, but what's happening is something, somehow, you're taking the step, but you can't just freely go. The basic commodity of the kingdom, the basic commodity of the kingdom is liberty. The basic commodity of the kingdom is freedom. The one thing every child of God should have at a basic level is freedom. The Bible says it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. That's the basic commodity of the kingdom. So sometimes you're like, hey, you feel like you want to push. You try to push, but it's like, I'm not moving. That thing is in the soul. I can tell you that 100%. It's an inside job. I said it's an inside job. Yeah, it's an inside job. Yeah, that thing is in the soul. And so what we're going to do this afternoon is, why did I say that? I said that because you see that speed. Because if we don't take care of the soul, then we'll say, God, you haven't, God, the problem is, the one who met Zacchaeus on the tree and still said, run, he's quick. I said, he's quick. He's eager. Someone say he's eager. Yeah, God is more eager than you and I regarding his promises. Yeah. He's eager. He wants it more than you want it. Oh, my God. You have to go back. You see this Sycamore Collective? You have to go. Please don't play. The word of God is treasure. Right? You see this? Don't play with it. Because to be honest, this was just a prophetic move in the house. At the beginning of the year, what I had planned to teach is not what the Lord started to bring in. But guess what? I figured something out. I realized that because God is truly sending us, he's healing us. Yeah. I realized that because the things that this house is going to begin to handle for God is so mighty, you can't crumble under it. So he's been taking time. When Jesus spoke, he said something. He said, the prince of this world, Satan, comes and he finds nothing in me. This generation is going to so rise, there will be nothing found in us that will pull us back. So this is the moment to heal. Right? Someone say, this is the moment to heal. You know, the Bible says a time to heal. Yeah, this is a time to heal. In the name of Jesus, I open healing virtues and healing grace over this house right now. We're going to begin to pray. Because your ability to innovate, your speed, your agility must come out of your spirit, must come out of a whole person. You must be healed, for where God is taking you to, he's not going to send you broken. Listen. You're not gonna go into marriage broken. You're not going to go into marriage broken. Yours is not about to fail. We are not sitting down with you after 2 years to start discussing who's going to share what. No. Right? There is mastery, perfection coming upon you. Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God. I want us to begin to pray. I want us to begin to pray. I want you to.